ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 83 टेक्स्ट नंबर 29 दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द्रौपदी मीट्स द क्वींस ऑफ कृष्णा उन्निया वक्त्रम् उरु कुंतला कुंडला त्विड गंधस्थलम् शिशिरहासा कटाक्ष मोक्षहि राज्ञो निरीक्ष परितः शनकैर् मुरारेर अम्से अनुरक्ता हृदया निदधे स्वमालम् उन्नीय वक्त्रम् उरु कुंतलकुंडलत्वे अंडस्थलम् शिशिरहास कटाक्ष मोक्षे राज्ञो निरीक्ष परितः शनकैर्मुरारे अंसेऽनुरक्तहृदया निदधे स्वमाला उन्नीय वक्त्रमुरुकुन्तलकुण्डलत्वे अंडस्थलम् शिशिरहास कटोक्ष मोक्षे राज्ञो निरीक्ष्य परितः शनकैर्मुरारे अंसेऽनुरक्त हृदया निदधे स्वमाला उन्नीय वक्त्रमुरुकुन्तलकुण्डलत्वे अंडस्थलम् शिशिरहास कटाक्ष मोक्षे राज्ञो निरीक्ष्य परितः शनकैर्मुरारे अंसेऽनुरक्ता हृदया निदधे स्वमाला
Matajis. परितः शङ्कर मुरारे उन्निया लिफ्टिंग वक्त्रम माय फेस पुरु अबेंडन कुंतला विथ लॉक्स ऑफ हेयर कुंडला ऑफ इयरिंग्स विथ and with the effulgence, gandastalam, whose cheeks, shishira, cooling, hasa, with a smile, kataksha, of sidelong glances, mokshay, and with the casting, ragya, the kings, niriksha, looking at, paritaha, all around, sanakahe, slowly, murarehe, of Krishna, amshe, upon the shoulder, anurakta, attracted, hridaya, whose heart, nidadhe, I placed, Sva, my, malam, necklace. Translation. I lifted my face, which was encircled by my abundant locks and effulgent form. The glow of my earrings reflected from my cheek. Smiling coolly, I glanced about. Then looking around at all the kings, I slowly placed the necklace on the shoulders of Murari, who had captured my heart. Tavan mridanga pataha sanka bheri anakadaye ninedur natanartakayo nantrur gayako jago. Just then there were loud sounds of conch shells and mridanga, pataha, bheri and anaka drums, as well as other instruments. Men and women began to dance and singers began to sing. Text 31. Evam rate bhagavati mayeshe nripa yutapaha nasehire yagya seni spardhanto rit chayatura. The leading kings there could not tolerate my having chosen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O Draupadi, burning with lust, they became quarrelsome. Purported by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sridhar Swami comments that the contamination of lust led the king to quarrel foolishly with the Lord, even after seeing His supreme power. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam rupakadamayam dadati svapadantikam. Vande ham Sri Guru Sri Juta padakamalan Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha. Sri rupam sagrajatam sahagana ragunatanvitam tam sajiva. Sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya devam. Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamsta Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatarane Vancha Kalpataru Vishchakrapa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम। Hare Krishna. So this is the description of the meeting between Draupadi and Krishna's queens. Very interesting conversation between the two. Draupadi, very unique because she had five husbands, and the queens are very unique because that Krishna is their husband, and they had to share Krishna with other 16,107. So therefore, it's an inspirational story, cannot be imitated either way, but there is a principle behind it about how every one of them, now this is Lakshmana is speaking, and she is speaking about her marriage with Krishna. And very interestingly, every queen, whether it is Rukmini, Satyabhama, Kalindi, Nagnajita, Mitravinda, Bhadra, and then Lakshmana, they're all speaking about their commitment to serving Krishna. There is a lot of humility in serving. They're talking about that also. That means how Krishna attracted their hearts completely. And therefore, the conviction continued to remain very stable. Even after so many years of marriage, they're able to speak with great gratitude that Krishna accepted them. And therefore, when we study the Bhagavatam, Krishna's marriage, in fact, one Vaishnava poet says that Krishna never wanted to marry in the first place because he had come to establish dharma. So because he had come to establish dharma and he had already experienced separation from the gopis of Vrindavan, he didn't find any interest in getting married. He said, lot of work has to be done. Because samsara and sukha, they are contradictory to each other. So wherever there is family, to experience or to expect only pleasure is not possible. Because, in fact, any ashram for that matter, ashram means there is shram. Right? It is not vihar. You know, the concept of vihar is very Buddhistic in nature, at least vihar. You know, the word vihar comes from vihar only. But the ashramas, brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram and sannyasa ashram, literally that word has the concept of yajna, samarpan, sacrifice. So therefore Krishna was thinking that I cannot do good justice to this ashram because I'll be traveling around so many places. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the separation of Mother Sita with Lord Ram, Sukadeva Goswami certainly knows Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ram's separation from Sita, you know, during the kidnap is nothing but vipralamba bhav. But how does he portray to the normal sadhakas? He portrays this entire pastime as the suffering caused by attachment. That's how he presents it, Sukadeva Goswami. And if you read the purport, Prabhupada combines both. You know, talks about it is not ordinary. Lord Ram is not ordinary personality, is the Supreme Lord. But there is a lesson to learn. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam also it is explained that Lord Ram Lila is Martyavataram Martyashikshanam. That the Lord appeared as Purusha, a human form. Unlike other incarnations, Lord Narsingdev came, he had no family. Right, he came instantly from the pillar, killed Hiranyakashipu, accepted all the prayers of the demigods, and then accepted the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, offered him benediction, then he disappeared. Right. Vara Dev also same thing. Vaman Dev also same thing. You don't see Vaman Dev staying in this world for a long time. He came to take away, you know, the pride of Bali Maharaj, you know, took away his false wealth and gave him substantial wealth, the wealth of devotional service, the substance of, you know, his heart, which was seen by everybody. But only Krishna and Ram, of course, Vishwamitra, Parshuramji came, and he interacted with the world not to create, to destroy whatever was had been created. You know, he was acting as like, almost like a Rudra Shakti. Wherever he would go, he would destroy, except the marriages. He said that I will not destroy marriages. In fact, it is explained that why Dasharatha Maharaj had 353 wives. Right. Ramayana explained that Dasharatha had 353 wives. And these 350 wives came because whenever Parshuramji would come, he would organize a marriage. So that he would not be killed. So, we see that. But only Krishna and Lord Ramachandra, they came in a full human form. They actually appeared from the womb also. Lord Ramachandra stayed for 12 months in the womb of Kaushalya. Krishna also stayed, and there is all the chart of what time they were born, what was the constellation, what was the star, what was the nakshatra. Everything is very beautifully described. Basically coming like a full-fledged human form. So therefore, there is a divine lesson also to learn, but there is also a lesson for us to learn. So we see here Krishna marrying all his 8 wives. Even one, he did not look for them. They came looking for him. They were praying for him. In fact, Rukmini's marriage, we see that when Rukmini got married to Krishna, she sent that very famous letter, almost like a first love letter, proper love letter, which was sent to Krishna. Through that Brahmana, very Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book that Rukmini, being a wife, a daughter of a royal family, she knew the act of diplomacy. She didn't play helpless. What can I do now? My father is getting me married to, you know, such a man. She did not play victim. This is the first lesson we can learn. In fact, Manu, very boldly, where people criticize Manu so much. You know, they don't read the entire understanding what Manu is presenting. Manu empowers. Manu gives the real principles of life. Prabhupada in one place quotes that even till now, recently, people would follow the advice of Manu in regards to legal inheritance, in regards to marriage, in regards to many things. So Manu says, so what Rukmini did, one may say, why did Rukmini, from a cultural perspective, is it right for a daughter to disobey her father and brother? She's a younger. And she's a woman, if you use that also. So how can she, without even informing her parents, when the marriage is about to start, the marriage ceremony, and meanwhile she writes a letter to someone who has nothing to do with this marriage. Is it that she is not going against her father and brother? So even if you take from an ordinary lesson point of view, if something is wrong, whoever does it has to be objected. Has to be objected. And therefore, and of course, she is the supreme goddess of fortune. How can she marry Shishupal? You know, Shishupal is none other than Ravan, right? So somebody says Ravan had kidnapped Sita. Now Sita was giving back to him that I'll be kidnapped by Lord Krishna. You know, he keep waiting. So Lord Krishna, when he saw her bold letter, in fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted this verse during the Rath Yatra festival. Right. No, he told this to Sanatana Goswami basically, wherein Sanatana Goswami wanted to, you know, give up his body under the cart of Lord Jagannath. Because he was thinking that my body is too bad, it is full of disease, and every time Mahaprabhu is embracing that body and all the pus is coming out of my body and touching it, I've come here to serve him, but rather than serving him, I'm causing a lot of pain. So he wanted to give up his body. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he got to know, he quoted this verse from Rukmini, wherein she says, if I don't achieve you, my dear Lord, I am willing to lay down my life hundreds of times, if that is what gives me your association. And Mahaprabhu said, dying does not give you Krishna. Bhakti gives you Krishna. Right? Many times when there is a trouble in life, people say, even devotees say, "Arey, marega to achha rahega, golok chala jaunga." Right? When there is a trouble, rather than intensifying our devotional service, consciously or unconsciously we pray for death. Why? Because life becomes very difficult. And because we practice Krishna consciousness, there is a assumption that it is enough what I have practiced, so death will give me the spiritual realm. Therefore, Mahaprabhu has told this 500 years ago only. He said, you know, Sanatana Goswami, no. If you die, that is nothing but tamogun. Rukmini wanted to give up her body many times, but she would not do that. So when Krishna saw that letter, you know, he changed his mind. He said, no. He said, I need to reciprocate. I have to set an establish dharma. It is not about establishing dharma is only connected to killing the kings and re-establishing a different royal and very just king. But it is also all about removing certain social, you know, misgivings, wrong understanding. And Rukmini was the first one who proved that my father and brother are willing to place me for their own selfish pleasure. Of course, the father was not involved so much. But the brother was involved. He wanted to marry Rukmini so that he become very close to Jarasandha. And Jarasandha gives him the post. Right. Unfortunately, it happens. People try to, you know, buy some post. And for that, they're willing to do anything. Obnoxious things also. So Rukmini got married to Krishna. So therefore, she is very grateful to Krishna. And Satyabhama, her father, when Krishna came to Satrajit, when he came to Satrajit, they said, look, you have this special money, Shamantaka money. He said, if you keep it you, because you are not a king, and you have something more than what you can handle. An individual cannot have something more than he can handle. That has to be the property of the state. Just imagine, you know, underneath your house, of course your houses are all 16th floor, 14th floor. No, usko khologe to dusra ghar aa jayega. But imagine if your house is in the land, in the village, and some other, you hit 16 jars of gold, diamond, silver. What will happen? You lose your life. Why? Because you can't handle that kind of wealth. You do not have the resources to maintain that wealth. Ek to neend nahi aayega pehle. Insomnia ho jayega, and you'll have insomnia. So therefore, that wealth, for the sake of protecting oneself, one has to give it to the state. So Krishna came and told Satrajit, he said, you have this, why don't you give it to Ugrasen Maharaj? He will keep it safe. But Satrajit could not understand that. And therefore, he misunderstood Krishna. And eventually what happened? He lost his life. His brother lost his life. Not only lost his life, basically, he offended Krishna. To such an extent, his offenses towards Krishna made even Balramji feel that Satrajit is right. Krishna killed Prasena, right? So therefore, Balramji went away from Dwarka. He went to Janakpur for 3 years. He did not come back. And that was the time where Balramji, Bhagavatam also explains in 1-2 verses that he left Dwarka. And that was the time when Duryodhan came and he learned the mace fighting from Balramji, thinking that dono mein jhagda ho gaya, abhi main, you know, I will use this for my advantages. And then when Satrajit realized that actually I made a mistake, so Krishna came, gave the money, he said, take this money. Satrajit said, no, take this money also and take my Bhama money also. So Krishna said, no, I'll take the Bhama money and you keep the money with you. No. So Krishna took Satyabhama. So he married Satyabhama, and while looking for that money, he bumped into Jambavan. Right. And Jambavan, they had a fight for 27 days. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes that actually Jambavan during Ram Lila only wanted to offer his daughter to Ramchandra. But Ramchandra was very clear. No, he said, I will only marry one person. So therefore he did not marry. So she was waiting for one entire yuga. Imagine. Right. So therefore another interesting point Shastras make, that this is there in the Mahabharata. When Janak Maharaj came in touch with one lady, she was very exceptionally highly qualified, not in regards to having an MBA from Harvard University. Okay, that is not necessarily highly qualified. A qualification based upon culture, you know, refined behavior, having a high family, that was the culture. Right. So therefore, when she met Janak Maharaj, Janak Maharaj asked her, why are you not married? Why are you moving around like a sadhvi? She said, yeah, I tried to marry, but I did not find a qualified husband. And very interesting point. This is spoken in the Bhagavatam third canto also, Kapil Muni. Kardam Muni's marriage with Devavuti. Right. Therein Swayambhuva Manu says to our Kardam Muni, you know, when he came with Devavuti to Kardam Muni, he said, it's very important that a girl should look for a husband. The family of a girl should look for a husband. That way the husband's credibility is maintained. He is respected. You know, he has accepted me. Agar ladka bhagta rahega idhar udhar, fir woh hamesha ke liye gulami reh jata hai. That is what the Shastra is saying. It's not me. Because by principle, by psychology, a man has to be respected by a wife. Husband has to be respected by a wife. Then only marriage becomes more stronger. If the man is running around, you know, she can always say, "Arey, come on, tu to mere piche pada tha na." So then that concept of respect does not stay. So Swayambhuva Manu speak this to Kardamu Muni. He said, "We have come here looking for you. Therefore, it is your good fortune. So why don't you marry her?" So that's how Kardamu Muni marries Devavuti, and he puts certain condition also. I will only stay in this marriage till I get a son, and then I'll go back to my tapasya. No, and she accepted that. And that's how Kapil Muni spoke his knowledge to Mother Devavuti. So then Jambavati was offered to Krishna, along with, you know, that money Krishna brought Jambavati also. And then next Krishna married Kalindi. Right, Kalindi, when Krishna had come to Hastinapur, you know, where they had to build this big city for the Pandavas. So when they came there, Krishna and Arjuna were strolling, going around Jamuna, and then Arjuna saw this lady perform tapasya, and Arjuna came and asked her, "What are you doing?" And she conveyed her desire that I am performing tapasya, I am Surya Putri, Kalindi Jamuna, and my life is dedicated to Krishna. So Krishna married another wife, Kalindi. And then Kunti's two sisters' daughters. One was Nagnajita, I think, Lakshmana and Bhadra. You know, these two were the Kunti's sister's daughter. One was kidnapped by Krishna. And this Lakshmana, she is speaking about her story. Bhagavatam explains, it was almost like, Lakshmana tells Draupadi, you know, it was almost like same thing what you got married to Arjuna. There was a fish which was moving around, but that fish was covered from everywhere. Only one time it would be seen, not like Arjuna's. And therefore so many kings came there, tried to shoot. And in this place, Sukadeva Goswami explains to Parikshit Maharaj, almost none of the kings were able to lift the bow. And those who lifted, they were not able to string the bow. And those who were able to string the bow, they could not able to pierce the target. Arjuna almost did pierce, but because he was not physically powerful, the arrow did not pierce the fish. It only touched it. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that Arjuna was good, but not powerful. So then Krishna came. And Krishna came, and he pierced the fish. And as same thing as what happened with Draupadi, all the kings, they came to attack. And that is what this purport is saying, that they came to attack Krishna. So when we lose our intelligence, we don't realize whom we are fighting with. Just last few days, you know, two girls were slaughtered in Chennai and somewhere in Hyderabad because, you know, they did not agree for their proposal. Both educated guys. Right. Do they not know laws are there? They will be caught. But because when the anger is there, lust is there, when the expectations are not fulfilled, what does it do? This is going to happen more and more, unfortunately. You know, however much we make laws, unless there are values, laws will not do any good to anybody unless there is value. Justice is not there, simply laws will not make them good. They'll keep making those mistakes again and again, again and again, again and again. Why? Because the understanding is not there. It's happening more and more. You know, somebody was mentioning that in America recently, Orlando case. Right, that is one place 50 people were killed. But what about every day gun-related violence? They say every day more than 35 to 90 people get killed in America, all over the America. Right, from the age of 1 year to whatever age. You know, gun-related fight. Shaman posting other day, after 2-3 days of this Orlando incident. In Chicago alone, about 16 people were killed. Right, in different parts of America. Why? Because you have all the CCTV, you have all the systems, you know, the court will give them fine, you know, they'll be punished, but the punishment comes after the crime. But the Shastras are saying, why not stop performing the crime? Therefore, Prabhupada suggested the Chicago Police Department. He said, give us big building. Okay. He said, you have a problem with crime? That was there during his time, 1970s. He said, give us the building and we will organize and the crime will not take place. We will organize the Harinam Sankirtan. Right, he has proposed to them in 60s. Abhi tak building nahi diya hai. Still they have not given the building. You know, why? Because they don't believe in this. The point is, they are only focusing on, in fact, in the Mahabharata, there is a statement. It is said that, at one point of time, there was no Rajya. And there was no Raja. There was no Raja and there was no Raja. And there was no Danda and there was no Dandadikari also. There was no law and there was no justice giver. There was no king. There was no kingdom. Why? Because everything was governed by self-governance, which was called as Dharma. And because there was Dharma, he says there was no need of all these things. So therefore we see, nowadays, you know, the whole concept of marriage. How much Draupadi and these queens are discussing about marriage. Right. In the Bhagavatam, there is so much of description of genealogical table. Right. Family table in the third, in the fourth canto, in the fifth canto, in the sixth canto, in the eighth canto, in the ninth canto. Right. There is description of so many family trees, which we very, you know, consciously, he said, isme koi, you know, there is no point in reading this. It is waste. Hey, Shukadeva Goswami doesn't write anything which is not substantial. Right. He will not write anything which is not substantial. In fact, even Dharma, in the fourth canto, we were discussing other day in our counselor meet, even Dharma, which is sometime described as Yama, sometime described as the universal principle, that Dharma also, there is a description of Dharma marrying 13 wives of Daksha Prajapati. Dharma married the 13 wives of Daksha Prajapati and the first daughter of Daksha Prajapati was Shraddha. Very interesting, when Shraddha is not married to Dharma, faith, no, Shraddha is not exactly faith. So when Shraddha is married to Dharma, then only it gives rise to substantial stability in life. When Shraddha is there, emotional Shraddha is there, but if it is not connected to proper Dharma, you know, it is connected to wrong kinds of faith, what does it do? It creates violence. We saw, you know, other day in Dhaka, we were there 2003, right, with lot of Western devotees only, right. So nowadays, so many people are getting killed there in the name of religion. 20 people were slaughtered. Can you imagine how can someone... I remember we had gone to Melukote, and then some of the children, we had taken our school children. And they saw this structure which was totally broken. And one student, you know, she was in 4th standard, she asked, Prabhuji, how can they destroy it? How can you destroy artwork? You know, if somebody makes a nice painting on a picture and they give it to somebody, it is very painful to, you know, throw it away, because you understand that they have put a lot of heart, there is a feeling, you know, even though kabhi kabhi jyada bhar jata hai, like I used to serve Radhanand Maharaj, you know, people used to give, so nowadays it is less, people giving card, written artwork, you know, it was like one cupboard filled, second cupboard filled, now you can't throw also, but you can't keep also, this is called as Dharma Sankat, right, where will you keep all that, no? So she was saying, you know, how can they break it? Because somebody must have put all their heart to make this. If you go to Channakeshwar temple in near Mysore, you know, the alt people, those who are sculptors, they are so conscious of Krishna being everywhere. It is not that in the only front side the decoration is there. You know, the carving of the stone, even on the back side where you people usually don't go, They put the same amount of energy and devotion to carve something very intricately. They could have said, people can only see from the front, so let me keep the backside very plain. No, even the backside is also as intricately carved as the front side. So how is it possible? And here Krishna has given such a beautiful structure of a human being. Right. Yes, they may be doing some sinful activities, but what right I have to destroy somebody else's life in the name of God consciousness? And therefore, other day Radhika Vallabhpur was mentioning that sometimes we escape our responsibility in the name of Krishna consciousness. And that is the very powerful one. Because what logic we have, what reason we have to not to do what we are supposed to do, we have the best logic is Krishna consciousness. No, Krishna doesn't want me to do this. Right. So Prabhupada writes that. So just imagine when Shraddha is not connected to this universal principle of Dharma, then what does it do? It creates unlimited violence. Therefore, Kapil Muni spoke this to Mother Devahuti in the 3rd canto of the Bhagavatam. He said, the bhakti in 3 kinds, tamogun bhakti, rajogun bhakti, sattvagun bhakti. Devotees should read that. In tamogun bhakti, what is that? There is a separatism. There is exclusivity. You know, my practice is the best practice. My experience is the best experience. My understanding is the topmost experience, topmost understanding. And most of the time, whatever we present, it's all based upon my experience. And we make that experience as the truth. No, Krishna can give so many experiences to different people differently, but to claim that this experience itself is the best experience, it is nothing but bhakti in the mode of goodness. You know, bhakti in the mode of goodness creates unlimited competition. Rajogun creates competition, threat, fear. Krishna is there, but more fear is there. Right. In the mode of ignorance, it is violence, highest of the violence. In goodness, there is cooperation. But in Shuddha Sattva, you know, it goes beyond simply cooperation. You know, Nirgunasya, Rupa Goswami quotes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that Shuddha Bhakti is beyond the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. So similarly here, the marriage of all these queens, you know, it is not connected to gunas. It is not connected to rajogun, tamogun, sattvagun. It is beyond all these things. And therefore, after so many years of this marriage, these ladies are speaking so nicely to our Draupadi. And elsewhere, when Satyabhama had come with Krishna during Pandava's exile, Satyabhama asked Draupadi. There's a beautiful conversation between Satyabhama and Draupadi. She asked Draupadi, you know, how is it possible that you have got 5 husbands? How do you control them? How do you control them? What is it that you are able to control all the 5 husbands? Now, control doesn't mean that, you know, tying with ropes. You know, control means binding them with affection. So Satyabhama asked that question. Because Satyabhama is Vamapankti. Not communist, huh? No, Vamapankti means, you know, she is aggressive, not like Rukmini. Rukmini Devi is very passive. Whatever Krishna says, Krishna dominates, she allows Krishna to dominate her. No, even if Krishna wants to fight with her, she will not fight back. Therefore, sometime, you know, when Prabhupada was talking to one devotee, I think it was Shruti Kirti Prabhu. He said, you are no fun, you don't fight back. Prabhupada wanted debate, Prabhupada wanted fight. You know, but he said, oh, you are no fun because you don't fight back. You just accept whatever I say. You know, he wanted Viriras. Prabhupada was very, you know, he didn't like people who are always soft and humble sitting. That was good. But he wanted debate also. So Krishna sometimes wanted debate. But Rukmini cannot do that. And therefore when Krishna joked with Rukmini about she marrying him, a coward boy who has no jati, jiska koi rehna nahi hai, jiska koi rajya nahi hai. You know, he can still now think of marrying somebody else. No? Nowadays this is a very good to hear for people. People like to hear this kind of statement. Oh, Krishna is recommending. Even Krishna had recommended this. That's when Rukmini heard that, you know, she fell unconscious. She couldn't handle it. Only when Krishna assured her that no, it's not like that, I was just joking, then she became very strong and she blasted all the men of this world. You know, why she would not marry any ordinary person? Why she had chosen to marry Krishna, right? So Satyabhama asked this question to Draupadi, how are you able to, and Draupadi's marriage is not exactly like the marriage of the queens, because the queens had all fascination for Krishna, because Krishna is fascinating. No, Krishna not only married this 16,108 queens, but he provided them palace for each one of them. Palace can be given if you have that much of wealth. But to give yourself equally all the time, that is not possible. You know, that cannot be done other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna books Prabhupada writes that when Krishna would come to Sudharma Palace, all the 16,000 figures would merge. The merger is there. No? And then he would come to Sudharma's palace. When the meeting was over, and when he would go back to his particular palaces, that one personality would become 16,000. Eko Bahusyam, the Upanishad talks about. The one became many, and many became one. And they were able to see in Dwarka. So nobody complained. Right. I told this Afzal Khan, right, when he was coming to attack Shivaji. No. Some say he had 18 wives, some say he had 250 wives. You know, that is too many wives. Either case. So when he was coming, and he was thinking, you know what, if something goes wrong with me, if I get killed by Shivaji, so what will happen to my wives? She was concerned of them, and because of his concern, he killed all of them. Just see how nastiness can come. He killed all of them thinking, if I survive, I can remarry. You know, if I don't survive, then what will happen to them? Just imagine the concern, this kind of concern where only I can protect. It's very dangerous. So Krishna doesn't do that. So the queens of Krishna were naturally fascinated by the Lord, but Draupadi's story was not like that. Draupadi's story was not like that. At some point of time, no. In fact, more than any other woman in this world could experience, Draupadi experienced in the presence of her husbands a nightmare, a trauma, wherein in public place, it is one thing that you are abused, you know, where nobody is there to protect you, then the abused person may sympathize with the relatives. Okay, you're not there to protect me, you know, nobody was around me, you know, I was helpless, alone. So she may not be angry with the relatives. Many times this happens because nobody around, they're walking alone and they were kind of abused. But here this lady Draupadi, she was surrounded by whom? Her most trusted relatives. She was a queen. She was the wives of the Pandavas. Her favorite husband's guru was sitting there, Dronacharya. The great Bhishmadeva was sitting there. Right, Kripacharya was sitting there. In fact, it was not the sabha of only the wrong people, it was also the sabha of good people, and the good people were more powerful than the wrong people. Bhishma was very powerful than all his warriors put together. Arjuna was very powerful. Dronacharya was so powerful, it is explained, Dronacharya could curse someone and kill. Shapadapi Sharadapi. You know, he could control people by shapa, he could control people by bana. Everyone was there. Now what happened? Draupadi, in those, in that place, she was not only disrobed, they were trying to disrobe her, but basically they were using all kinds of language against her. Verbal aparad, physical aparad, emotional aparad, social aparad, Vaishnava aparad ki koi sima hi nahi thi udhar. No limit to what kind of aparad they were doing. She was begging, asking, she came to Bhishmadev, she asked, you know, is it right on the part of Yudhishthira Maharaj, after losing himself, can he put me to the stake? Is it possible? And what did Bhishmadev say? Bhishmadev said, no, I think one devotee was mentioning, Draupadi did not go to Bhishmadev for question answer session. Prashnuttar ka karyakram nahi tha. Right, mujhe japa kaise karna chahiye? Offering kaise lagana chahiye, bhog kaise lagana chahiye. It was not a question answer. She was desperately asking for her protection. But he thought it was a question answer. He said, you know what, dharma is very, very difficult to understand. It's very delicate. He said, yes, certainly Yudhishthira Maharaj has lost everything, but still a wife always remains under the control of her husband. But you know, I cannot answer this question. He could not answer that question. And the other Pandavas, you know, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev, they were bound by one dharma. What is that? We are subordinate to our brother. They forgot they were also husbands. No, they became more conscious of their subordinate position to their brother, which is good, but not during this time. This time Yudhishthira Maharaj not only stake Draupadi, you know, nobody was trying to protect her. She was going everywhere. So for such a lady to talk about how she is able to serve her husband, you know, is not very easy. Very difficult. Therefore when Satyabhama asked that question, if you study that part of the Mahabharata, how beautifully she answered. Because what she went through, what the trauma she went through, you know, of course Krishna protected her, but not before she went through a lot of difficult, challenging situation. Like somebody falls in the well. Right. You know, one Sri Vaishnava Acharya explains that a mother will never forget the trauma when the child goes through of falling in the well. Mother removes her through the help of somebody else. But after 5-7 minutes when the child is taken out from that water, but the trauma what the child has gone through for so long, a mother will never forgive herself. She will say, it is my fault. For 5 to 7 minutes my child had to suffer. He said, how could I allow that? It was my negligence. So similarly, Krishna, in fact, was feeling that, you know, it was my responsibility to give her protection, but I did not give it at the right time. Immediately I could not give her. So there was a regret in the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So such Draupadi, Satyabhama is asking to her, and she explains very beautifully, you know, how she is able to serve her husband. And here, therefore, Draupadi, you know, now this incident is just before the Kurukshetra war was about to happen. And what they are discussing? They are discussing about their relationship, their interaction with the Lord, how they are able to serve Krishna. Every queen, either she is talking about serving his feet. One queen says, you know, I am a sweeper in his house. One queen says, you know, I want to come back to this world again and again according to my karma. You know, and continue to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not that I serve the Supreme Lord and I go back to Godhead. Using Krishna as my, you know, a stepping stone to achieve something else. This is one of the very interesting concepts. That some people believe in God, but they use God as an instrument to achieve mukti. Bhagwan unke liye ek upakaran ban jata hai. Mukti, you know, for them mukti goes beyond God. When God is used for mukti, that mukti is as hellish as help only. Why? Because you are using Ishwara for something else. But here this Bhadra, I think wife Bhadra, she is telling Draupadi, you know, by the power of my karma, I come back again and again, but in every lifetime, I want to continue serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is a very beautiful marriage description, you know, which happened many years back. They are still relishing it, talking about it, speaking about it, worshipping about it, and then wanting to continue to do this for many lifetime. That is the power, that is the glory, that is the greatness of Krishna. He has the power to attract people, not only for one lifetime, forever, because he is constitutionally our Master and Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So thank you very much, Govind Prabhu, for a very enlightening class. So, there is a very serious responsibility. I don't have to go into the details. You already heard in the class. A very serious nature. These two devotees